Hey everyone, welcome to Jewel Miners. If you notice any continuity gaps in this episode, it's because we did it over two nights. And I'm hoping it's going to be a grand total of like 20 minutes. The first recording was 11 minutes. We just take it slow.
Yeah.
But Sonny had some internet issues. He tried to join by his phone. He sounded like R2-D2. And I just couldn't follow, so we had to call it quits. So here's the first half, and then right about the time we stop talking about Snow the Products verse,
yep,
and start to switch to Kanon, who we called Kanon.
Yeah.
It's all right. That's what a day will do. That's and right. What research will do.
Fix it.
But anyway, here is our episode on immigrants. We get you our episode on immigrants. We get the job done from the Hamilton mixtape. We America's ghost riders, the credits only borrowed. It's a matter of time before the checks all come. But immigrants, we get the job done. Well, this week we're taking a look at immigrants, and we don't just mean Sonny.
That's right.
We mean
all immigrants.
Immigrants, we get the job done.
Yes.
And this is okay. I need you to correct any mispronunciations of the artist because I think I know Kanon, or is it?
I'm pretty sure it's Kanon. Yeah.
Okay, Kanon, and then Snow the Product is pretty straightforward. Yes. Riz MC,
I think it's a,
yeah. and then. Residente?
Yes.
And this is on the Hamilton mixtape. Yes. I don't know if I said that. But this was Sonny's pick. And Sonny, what made you pick this one?
So I am all the way in on this song. You know, I'm definitely a musical kid. I love musicals. Hamilton is, you know, probably top three musicals of all time for me. And then when I heard the mixtape, I'm like, this is incredible. The fact that it's produced by, you know, Lin-Manuel and The Roots, and just the names he got to be on this mixtape was incredible. And then going through the whole mixtape, I came to this song. And really before this song, I hadn't heard of any of these artists, right? So I didn't know any of these guys. And then this song came on and I just absolutely fell in love with all of them, especially Snow the Product, even though,
that name
I'm not all that wild about. But we can get more into it, once we get to the specific verses, but I was blown away by her ability on this. And I went into a YouTube rabbit hole after listening to this song. So, you know, when we were talking about, okay, what songs do we want? It was a no-brainer to me. Yeah, given the times, that we're living in our country right now, but also just, you know, what I think is a kind of a masterful execution of this track. I thought it was important to get into.
So let's actually flip it. Let's start off with bars first.
Okay.
Any standout bars for you?
Yes. So I'm going to go jump right into Snow's line. And I'm going to try and get to it. Yeah. So the one goes, "You claim I'm stealing your jobs, though. Peter Piper claimed he picked them. He just underpaid Pablo. But there ain't a paper trail when you living in the shadows. We're America's ghostwriters. The credit's only borrowed." I mean, to me, you get to that part and that's like if you take this song as a rap battle between pro-immigration and treating people with dignity and humanity versus, you know, the MAGA tool bags, to me, that line's like a knockout blow in that battle, right? Like, that was just so dope. Her delivery was incredible. it's funny. Yeah. So like that line to me is like the line of the song.
Yeah, no doubt. That's the powerhouse section of the entire song, is the end of her last verse, or the end of her verse there. I really love her energy. As far as the delivery, it's like I felt like she was going to punch me the entire way through.
Yeah.
I also like at the start of her verse, like not the very start, even though that's really kind of cool the way she it's a hard line. Like it's almost like Tupac-ish.
Right.
It's a hard line when you're an import baby boy. It's hard times when you ain't sent for. And at like races feed the belly of the beast with a pitchforks, rich chores done by the people that get ignored. I love that section in there. Particularly when you ain't sent for. Like, I took that to be when immigrants come over and they come over for the paycheck to send back home to family. And that's usually the man of the family or definitely an adult, right?
Right.
And sending those checks back, but not being sent for in your like if you're a kid, you're not being sent for to come back.
Right.
Or to come with, should say.
Right.
So I really like that. And then the imagery of just playing with the pitchforks and the rich chores. And I kind of like, even though I don't know that's her intention there, I kind of liked the imagery of the mob with the pitchforks, right? Like she's clearly talking about racist pitchforks. Mm-hmm. Like we could be talking about, the like fascist demonstrations, fascist protests, everything like that. But when you put the rich chores there too, my mind went to slavery. Mm-hmm. And then also went to, immigrants doing dirty jobs, yet people are coming with the pitchforks. So like that whole like plantation allusion to me, even though she's not setting that up, clearly she's talking about something else, just kind of stood out to me.
And I've heard like some interviews with her and stuff, like she was on Sway, and like I don't know, I think she might have meant, I think she might have been playing on both sides there, because she's kind of vocal about how she thinks it's really counterproductive, and she's right that even within the different communities within racial minorities, there's infighting, right? Like, oh, it's harder being black. No, it's harder being Latino. No, it's harder being Asian because nobody even takes this seriously as a minority group. No, it's harder being women. No, it's harder being a black. Like, it's, the idea that we're constantly infighting about whose life has been made harder, while the people that line up on the extreme right and are super conservative and fascist and racist are all together like, no, we hate all of you pretty equally. You're all pretty useless to us, So I think she might have been playing that up as well, because she, I've heard her talk about how she hates the fact that there's infighting, that, there's so much more progress could be made if we all just lined up together. And I can't say I completely agree with her on that. I liked how she started her verse. Of course the end is kind of the knockout blow, but the thing that kind of really blew my mind was the middle of her verse. I've heard rappers go, try to intermingle English and their native language or English in a different language. I've never heard anyone do it as seamlessly and smoothly as I heard on this verse, her do it. It was nuts to me how she just, went in and out of Spanish and English without losing pace, without really losing, her syllable count, her scheme, her rhymes, without forcing things that didn't make sense just to make it rhyme. Like, Pitbull does it all the time, right? Like he's just looking for words that rhyme sometimes. You're like, that's not even a, like, you didn't even say anything there. So staying on, you know, staying on topic and being able to go in and out to me was just bananas. To the point where I even busted out Google Translate. I'm like, I need to know what's happening here. And that made it even more impressive.
So I want to hear your thoughts on this part from Kanan's verse.
Okay.
Let me grab it here. I'm no dummy. Here's something funny. You can be an immigrant without risking your lives or crossing these borders with thrifty supplies. All you got to do is see the world with new eyes.
Yeah. I like, honestly, I'm not sure I still get the reference he's making. Like, at first, when that part starts, I'm like, you know, it seems like he's talking about legal immigration versus illegal, and I'm like, wait a second, that doesn't make, you know, that doesn't go with the rest of the theme of his verse or just the theme of the song in general. But then he ends it in a way that it left me kind of perplexed. I was legitimate. I listen to the song all the time, and I have no idea what he's trying to get at there.
Who's he talking to?
Yeah, right, like, I don't know. I'm really confused. Like, the first half of his verse, you know, to me, kind of makes perfect sense. And then this half, like, I don't know what he's trying to say.
You know, up until that point, so I got one job, two job, three when I need them. Like, I love how that leads off.
Right.
And then I got five roommates in this one studio, but I never really see them. So I'm working three jobs. I'm living with five roommates, but we don't see each other because we're working three jobs.
Right.
You know, I think I like that bottom part more than you, not because I understand it, but because it made me think. So yeah. I was with you. It didn't fit with the top part. He's not necessarily talking about illegal, legal immigration at the top. Yeah. He's just kind of talking about the immigrant experience.
Right.
But I'm thinking the bottom part's not about advocating for coming legally. It could be. I don't know. But the way I interpret it was like more of a statement of empathy.
Right.
So like if you can see the world as an immigrant sees the world, you know, you don't have to cross borders to see the world from an immigrant's eyes.
Right.
We all are immigrants in this country, unless you're one of the lucky Native Americans to survive almost total genocide.
Yep.
You know, this song has a lot of raw to it. Snow the Product's verse is more complex than a lot of them. I can't even really weigh in on the last verse because it's completely in Spanish. And
right.
I don't know what he says. And it's kind of funny. On Genius, hardly anyone has annotated it. So what does that kind of tell you about the demographic of who engages
with genius,
right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I went ahead and used Google Translate on that. That was the only way I even understood what he was saying, Residente. But yeah, no, getting back to Kanan's verse, now that you explain it that way, it kind of makes perfect sense, right? Like, to me at least, I'm like, yeah. Okay, now I get it. But yeah, like, it was in the moment. I listened to the song a bunch, and I'm like, I don't know. And I think it's because of the disconnect between the first half. It's like he's talking about the immigrant experience, and then he's explaining to non-immigrants that they can also experience it without experiencing it. I think that disconnect threw me off completely. That I'm like, whoa, I just didn't understand where he was going, but hearing kind of your interpretation, that to me now, like, yeah, that makes sense. And I, you know, just like Kanan's flow, like the way he started this song, I liked a lot. And I thought it was the perfect lead up the snow absolutely just, you know, being a jackhammer in her verse. Because if he would have come in hard, I think it would have taken away from it, right? Like you come in kind of soft, a little bit sing-songy with his, you know, his very like New York vibe. And then she just comes in like a jackhammer. And I thought that fit perfectly.
Well, and he might even be like, he seems more like a poetry slam kind of guy than an MC, where Snow the Product's definitely, you know, more
right from that. And that's a good pickup, because today I was listening to I just on my drive to work, I just Spotify'd Kanan and then I Spotify'd Riz MC just because I wanted to. I'm like, hey, like let me listen to a bit more of what these guys have done. And I think you hit the nail on the head with Kanan. A lot of his stuff, you know, he actually does a lot of singing and not even rapping. He's got songs where he's just singing the whole time. He does songs that are not, that have a very like Afro jazz vibe to him. Like he's an African immigrant. He talks about that a lot in his songs. His songs have that vibe. He does songs with a lot of African MCs as well. I think the thing I found really interesting about his style and like his songs outside of this was just how jazz influenced it was, because a lot of it doesn't necessarily have, you know, the structure that traditional songs have, you know, verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, verse type deal. He just kind of plays with, you know, whatever story he's trying to tell, and he just lets that kind of take lead on the flow a little bit. So that's interesting to hear just from 16 bars that you kind of caught that.
Yeah, I didn't really look into him. I mean, I didn't even know how to pronounce his name. So yeah. So overall, my takeaway from this song and how it fits into what's going on currently with immigration, I think it's very telling, but it's like it doesn't like reveal a lot to me that I didn't already hold this truth. Right. You know what I mean? And I don't expect music to do that. I think good journalism right. definitely can, especially in a world where we're journalism's under attack. But I don't know. It's hard to quantify, but it feels like it's homage to the immigrant experience. And maybe that's what this is all about. And it's heavily influenced by Hamilton, obviously. But I think sonically it's great. Message wise, I think it's kind of meh, except for Snow the Product's like, yes. And the rest of it's kind of like, meh, I could forget a yeah. lot of it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I feel like Snow came in hard, and I feel like the rest of the guys, the content of their verses were really just really on the nose, right? Like there wasn't a ton of clever wordplay with trying to get the message. It was just hey, here's the immigrant experience. The oppressors hate us, but they built their countries on our backs, and we're just spelling it out. Like, yeah, like, agreed. All that is accurate. But I also didn't feel like Snow was the only one where I felt a lot of emotion coming from her, you know? Like, Kanan has the line in the very beginning, I got one job, two job, three when I need them. But I don't feel from him the struggle and pain of working three jobs, living in a one bedroom with five other people, and all that brings, right? Like I don't feel any of that. Like I don't know if you ever watch Master of None on Netflix, but the second season had that episode with the I think it was like four or five Somali guys that were all living together, but they never, you know, they would only see each other when they were coming or leaving from work because they all work like separate shifts. So the one guy was a cab driver, and they all, that episode where really the end is kind of a punchline on, you know, these guys trying to live the American dream, in this, you know, super disjointed episode, I feel like did so much more to give me feeling of that experience than this verse did. And same with Riz MC. And like, I listened to a bunch of Riz MC today, and he, to me, I think he's a really good storyteller. And to me, he didn't really tell much of a story here, right? Like, he didn't paint any picture. He didn't really get into anything new or different. Like, he just kind of stayed very superficial with what he was trying to say. And if you Google translate Residente's verse, it's also the same, right? Here's a translation, just by land or by water, false identity. We jump walls or float on rafts. We fight like Sandino in Nicaragua. We are like plants that grow without water, without American passport, because half of gringo land is a Mexican land. You have to be a son of a bitch. Like, you know, yeah, yes, agreed.
It's truth. Yeah. I get behind that. I don't deny it, but I hate to do it with subject matter that's so important, right, as this, but it's kind of meh. And maybe, you know, maybe if it's recorded, written today versus right. 2016, where it's mm-hmm. even more of a heightened concern. You know, I just, again, I think we could call the title of this episode right. Immigrants or Meh.
Yeah.
Maybe Immigrants, Meh. And maybe we get crazy people coming in here being like,
right.
I gotta see what the fuck they're talking about if they're going Meh to immigration. No right. one says Meh to immigration. You're either like
right. then passionate on one side or the disappointed other. But, yeah, by the actual subject.
Yeah, they'd be like, "Oh, right. I don't even know what the. I still don't know what their what their angle is."
But I like the song overall. Like, I think, like you said it right. Like, sonically, the instrumental and just the way it all works. It's a good song. I enjoy listening to it. I'll put it on loop. Like, you know, I really do like the song. But given the subject matter, I wish there was more feeling and bit more personal storytelling from all the MCs. Like, Residente to me is the weakest verse, and not because I don't understand what he's saying, because I don't understand half of Snow's verse, and that doesn't bother me at all. And I'll listen to like reggaeton and stuff, and I have no idea what's going on. It was because it's monotonous almost, right? Like, his verse, his verse is talking about crossing the border and the rage that's involved with, why the hell do I have to cross the border when half of this land was, you know, supposed to be mine anyways? But I don't feel any of that.
You know, it's kind of a microcosm of how I feel about the mixtape in general. I mean, My Shot remix, like with those guys on it, and the way that Black Thought absolutely slaughtered his verse on right. that. And everyone else holds their own, except the Busta Rhymes kind of just seems out of place. And like,
yep.
the Wrote My Way Out, with Nas and Ella Black and, Lin-Manuel, it was good too. But like, for the most part, like, I really like Hamilton as a musical and just a straight up soundtrack from it. And I felt yep. like that gave me so much more than a bunch of covers and songs inspired by it. You know, besides Ashanti and Ja Rule dusting off mothballs and getting back.
Yeah.
You know, meh.
Yeah, I kind of agree. It's weird. It's weird to really like something, but also, like not care that much about it, given the subject matter. It feels bubblegummy.
It does.
When it's not. not. And, like, it's weird.
And when this came out, I listened to this on loop, but I listened to it while I worked because it was really good to just be in the background. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate with the opportunity that they have here, and especially how nice and transformative that musical is. And maybe that's what it is.
And I think that's the problem, right?
Yeah.
Like that musical, it's so creative. You know, the fact that it's an info dump, but at the same time, it's just really aesthetically pleasing. And this only manages to be aesthetically pleasing without really giving you much else.
Well, it's a good place to leave it. I got a punt for tonight. I'll give a little tease for next episode. We're going to do a bona fide legend. We're going to do a throwback because we've been doing more stuff recently. And you'll find out next episode.
Nice. Peace.